Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, The Letter to the Romans. There were three sets of laws given to Adam, Noah, and Moses. Paul sought to explain our relationship to the law and sin, but in doing so, it is necessary to define the law. In the seventh chapter, Paul referred to the law of death that was introduced to Adam and the laws given to Moses. But if you don't know which one he is referring to, the references will certainly confuse you. In describing our freedom from death, Paul used the illustration of a married woman and how she is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. Jesus paid for the sins of mankind on the cross and made it possible for humanity to be set free from the law of death. That doesn't mean that the law of Moses is set aside, because it also creates an awareness of sin, and it is a schoolmaster which brings us to Christ. There is a daily battle that takes place in each person. This message is entitled, Struggle Against Sin. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord. If you got your Bibles with you, turn to Matthew chapter 5 is where I'm going to start today. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to go through Romans chapter 7. It's a difficult chapter to understand, so we're going to take our time here today to do that. Now, in the 7th chapter of Romans, Paul was trying to explain our relationship to the law and sin. He refers to the law of death and the law, which is the Torah, also known as the five books of Moses. These are two different laws, the law of death and the five books of Moses, or the Torah. I've been talking about this for the last two Sundays. Now, the law of death applies to all people on this earth. The moment a baby is conceived, they are immediately sentenced to death. No one will walk out alive from this planet. Unless you live by the time when Jesus comes back and you're caught up in that rapture. But all of us are destined to die. Our physical bodies will die. Our souls will live. If you're saved, your spirit will live. But you are not going to come out alive. The law of death simply states this. You are sentenced to the lake of fire. Before that, to go to hell, which is God's jail, where you're kept until we have the final judgment, and then you'll be cast into the lake of fire. Is that fair? No, it is not fair. But it's blamed upon our ancestors going all the way to Adam and Eve. We are a fallen race. We have a sinful nature. When Jesus saves us, we are saved and redeemed from the law of death. If you are born again and saved, yes, your body will still die, but you will go to heaven, not to hell, and the lake of fire. What about the Torah now? When I get saved, I'm saved by grace. Does that mean that the law does not stand anymore, the Torah? Let me take you to Matthew chapter 5. Have you read here from verse number 17? These are Jesus speaking now. Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot, one tittle shall in no wise pass for the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, He shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Most people don't like laws. We don't like to be regulated. We simply want to be rebellious. But in order for society to be able to function, we have to have laws. For example, you cannot hold property unless there are laws governing property. You cannot own an automobile unless there are laws that says that you have a title. And if somebody steals your car, there is a law saying that that person has broken it, he will be arrested, and he will be taken out of circulation. There are traffic laws. There are all kind of laws. And if we do not have laws, there is chaos. If you want to go and live in a lawless society, there are currently two nations that you can travel to and take a vacation or spend some time. You can either go to Somalia or you can go to Libya. They don't have a government that's functioning. There are no laws. Wherever you got the guns, the knives, the biggest thieves, the biggest guys, they set the laws. You cannot hold property there. You cannot do business there. There is no law. And if a person says, I like to live without law, those are the countries that you should go and buy an airline ticket and simply fly there and enjoy yourself in a lawless society. How long do you live there? Well, some people live longer, some people die today, some tomorrow. It depends upon there's no law. Let me tell you the Romans now, chapter 7 and verse number 1. That's Romans chapter 7, and we're going to begin here in verse number 1. There are two types of people. Those that do not believe in the Bible, they do not believe in God's word, and then those that do believe in it. But it doesn't matter if you believe in it or not, you are still under the Torah. Amen. No, you're not burdened. For I speak to them that know the law, how the law has dominion over man as long as he lives. You might say, I don't know the laws in the Bible. I don't know what they're saying. You still will be held accountable. Let me take you to Romans chapter 2, verse number 12. Romans 2:12. Have you read this? For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. So you don't know the Torah. You don't know the Bible. So God is not going to say you have broken commandment 1, 2, 3, or 4, and so on. You're not going to be held accountable for that. But you will be held accountable to your works. We're going to do a bonus scripture right now for the book of Revelation. And we're going to go to chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. And we're going to pick it up in verse number 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. When you were created, your soul was created. You were created with a conscience. And you know what's right and wrong. We might destroy that later on and simply override it. But every man and woman knows right from wrong. It's within you. A person knows it's wrong to murder someone. We do know this. It's wrong to steal. It's wrong to hurt somebody. It's wrong when you get married and you cheat on your wife or you cheat on your husband. There are many things that we know that is wrong. It's built into us. On that final day judgment, the great white throne judgment, every person that ever lived on this earth will be resurrected. Those that are not saved will be resurrected with what you call it, a satanic body. It's going to be a body of shame, indestructible. They can take heat to millions of degrees that they're going to float to the lake of fire. It will be very sensitive, and they will feel the pain, but no destruction. As that person stands there before Jesus Christ the judge, in his resurrected body of shame, looking uglier than ugly, that soul in there, he's going to look at Jesus, and the feeling is, I just came out of hell. That's horrible. And now, I'm heading for the lake of fire. I will forever be punished. And then Jesus is going to simply roll on the big screens. Your life, from the time of a little baby to the last day you lived on earth. And every deed you did on that during that time will show up. Every thought you had will show up. And he will judge accordingly. Those that have done much evil will have much to pay in the lake of fire. There's going to be degrees in that lake of fire. Just like we have here in the United States. We have a federal maximum prison in Colorado. And people says, well, you know, at least they're not executed. How would you like to be locked up for 23 hours a day? Never hear anyone. Your food is slipped to you on a tray. You don't see the guard. There's no word spoken to you. When you exercise, you're alone. No one to talk to. Locked up for the rest of your life. Those people in that maximum prison. No hope. The only way they get out is when their body dies. They still have a chance to get out. In the lake of fire, you don't get out. This is something we want to preach and teach people. Let me now turn to you. We're going to turn now to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And this is the law that God has here for verse number 24. Actually, this is about the law of marriage. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. That's the law of marriage. If you go back now to Romans chapter 7, that's Romans chapter 7. We read the following. And let me get down to Romans chapter 7. And we want to read verse number 2 now. For the woman which has a husband is bound by the law to her husband, so long as he lives. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then, if, while her husband lives, she's married to another man, she'd be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she's free from the law, and so she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, you also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to none other, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Now, we are freed from the law of death. That doesn't apply to us anymore. We have been married to Christ. Christ is the groom. We are the bride. And you find this in Revelation chapter 19. That's Revelation chapter 19. If you pick it up in verse number 6. And I heard there was a voice of a great multitude, as a voice of many waters, as a voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he says unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he says unto them, These are the true sayings of God. It's going to be a marriage feast in heaven. All the believers in Christ is going to be up there. And that is, we will be united with Jesus Christ. We are the bride. He's a groom. We are his body. He's the head of this body. Can you imagine that day when you're up there and you realize the law of death has no more power over me? I was saved from that. And you realize what hell is and the lake of fire. You're going to be one happy camper. You're going to be praising God. Regardless if you got a lot of rewards or not, just being in heaven, you're going to say, Thank God I made it. Yes. Last week, a young man by the name of, I don't know his name, but he was 18 years old. He was a Christian. He and his three friends had been using, when we had the Martin Luther King holiday, they used that day to have some nice fun. And they went to some Christian events down in the Roseville, which is a city here south of us. And they were doing things all day long. And then in the evening, they were going to ride home. They lived up in Marysville and Wheatland. As they were traveling up the freeway, Highway 65, and this man that died was in the back seat. And there was an accident. So the driver of this car started to slow down and stopped. There was a pickup truck coming behind. Didn't pay attention. 70 miles an hour. Plowed into this car that was standing still and simply moved the back seat into the front seat. And this young man, 18 years old, instantly killed. His friend sitting on that side, severely injured. People on the front injured. They're probably going to spend a lot of time in hospitals, rehabs, and so on. But you know, this young man, he didn't have a chance to live out his life. He got 18 years. But it's one thing, when that body died, there were angels there to pick him up. And he could actually see the wreck. He could see his body crumbled up there, destroyed. And his angels said, We're here to take you to heaven. And he realized, I'm done. But praise God, I'm saved. You've taken up to heaven. Where is today? Rejoicing. You see, people think, you know, that your physical brain is you. Your physical brain is a computer. You have a body inside your body called a soul. And your soul has a soul brain, has a soul body, arms, legs, head, eyes, ears. And that's the body that is eternal. It's a spiritual body, but solid in the spirit world. And that's the body that stepped out of that car, unharmed. He didn't feel any pain. Because the moment you die, it's cut, and you're simply taken out of your body. Do you think that that guy is happy? That, you know, as a young man, he accepted Christ, and he was walking with the Lord, he was part of the youth program in the church, and so on. Yes, he's rejoicing. But you know, today, 150,000 people die on this earth. That's the death rate on this earth. About 150,000 people every day. Most of them are not saved. The horror when they're picked up, arrested, and taken to hell. So we are freed from the law of death. We no longer married to sin. We are married to Christ. And we are to bring good fruit. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. The Gospel of John, the 15th chapter. And we're going to read the first six verses. Jesus said, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that he may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Paul said here, in verse 4, that we should have fruit. And this is something that you really want to think about. When you get married and have children, and the children start growing up, let's say they're 7, 8, or 9 years old, you put them in school. Private school, Christian school, homeschooling, but some kind of school. And the child might ask this, you know, why dad, why mom, do I have to go to school? It's boring. I like to play. I like to do this and that. And the parents try to tell you this. It is hard to live on minimum wage. Well, when you're a kid or a child, you don't think about, you know, that you have to pay rent, you have to pay get your food, you got to pay for insurance, if you want to have a car. There's a lot of things to pay for. And so what most children do is they simply float. Some people really apply themselves. And they simply say, I'm going to have good grades. They finish high school, they get into college and so on. And they get good jobs. Then you have the high school dropouts. And when they drop out, they're looking for work because if you want to eat, you got to work. And they are said, well, minimum wage. And then they begin to complain. I can't live on this. I can't have a family on this. How can I support a wife and a children? You can't. So you were stupid. Well, you did not think what will happen down the road when you get married. You have children. You want to have a good job. To have a good job, you've got to prepare yourself. A lot of people opted out of Social Security. A lot of people didn't pay Social Security, particularly those that are contractors and can cheat. So they hit 65. They go down to the Social Security office and say, hey, I want to apply for Social Security. They check your record. They says, well, you don't have a lot. About $300 a month. And they scream, $300 a month. I can't live on that. Well, hey, buddy, weren't you thinking about that when you were 20, 30, and 40 when you were working? You didn't put the money in. You spent it. Now, here you are on your way to heaven, and God said this. Jesus said, you know, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, not on earth. And what did we do? We fiddled here, we fiddled there, we do a little bit of this and that, you know. And how much work have we done for the Lord? How much fruit do we have? Most people have very bare trees. There might be one little fruit hanging there. It's kind of a tiny fruit. Now, let me take you to the judgment seat of Christ. You're in heaven now. And you're walking up, and there's Jesus. Oh, he said, bless you, Jesus. He said, I'll bless you too. Now, we're going to see about your rewards. And you go, good, good. What do I have? They roll your life on the screen. And there you are, 10 years old, 20 years old, 30 years old. No fruit. Little berry here and there. End of life. And Jesus says, well, it doesn't look like you have a whole lot. You know what? Angels, give that guy a rag. His job is to polish the golden streets. Oh, man. What about this and what about that? Look at these guys, what they got. Son, remember, you lived on earth. What were your priorities? Sports. Cars. Money. Overtime. Hunting, fishing, riding horses, whatever you do. And you go, yeah. Playing golf. I was good at playing golf, yeah. No points in heaven for that. You know what? That's when you're going to cry a lot. I said, why was I so stupid? Why did anyone tell me about this? Well, very few preachers would tell you this, you know, that there is a judgment coming. They don't want to do that because they want you to feel good. If you feel good, you put lots of money in the offering plate. If you don't feel good, you leave the church. I'm out of here. I can't take this. And that's why, because the preachers do not give them the truth, you don't know the scoop. And then later on, you're stuck. No preacher's going to come up and say, Jesus, I'm sorry, this guy was in my church, and I'm at fault. I didn't give him everything he should have. I didn't tell him. So Jesus, take 50% of my stuff and give to this guy. No. No preacher's going to come up and do that to you. They're going to try to hang on what they got, whatever little they have. So it's time to simply begin to think eternally. And what do you have? Let's move on to the next point. Residing in the flesh. It must have been difficult for the person to divide the letter here, in this chapter, and verses. Paul has a tendency to deal with several subjects at the same time, assuming that the reader understands the Old Testament, the teaching of Jesus. So let's read verse number 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motion of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. What does it mean to be in the flesh? Well, people in the flesh are not saved. But then you have saved people, they can also be in the flesh, that means they are carnal. If you are saved, you have two components. You got the spirit, which is born of God. You got your soul. And if you walk in the spirit, we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. But very few of us really are able to walk in the spirit. So let's say now, for example, let me try to illustrate this. You wake up in the morning, I'm talking about you are saved now, the saved person, and he goes, glory, hallelujah, you say your prayers, you have your breakfast, you have some Christian music on, you're praising God, hallelujah, glory. You get in your car to drive to work. You go down the road, and somebody cut you off really bad. What happened to your spiritual life? It evaporates. Oh, what? And you want to give them the finger. You want to go out and do something, road rage. Now you're no longer in the spirit, you're the flesh. And it is so easy. Somebody say something nasty to you. Man, you flip right out of the spirit into the flesh. If you really are in the spirit, these things will not affect your emotions. So you get cut off. Big deal. You might lose 5 seconds. So somebody says something nasty to you. They don't sign your paycheck. Who cares? People say, well, I don't like you. Hey, you don't have to like me. God likes me. Jesus likes me. The Holy Spirit likes me. And I like myself. It's okay. You don't have to like me. Bye. Don't get rattled. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. A believer in Christ is delivered from the law of death. It has no more power over the saved person. Christians should walk in the Spirit and not be bound trying to keep the law for our salvation. You should not say, well, I've got to keep the law to be saved or to stay saved. Verse number 6. But now we're delivered from the law, that's the Torah, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now, I do good works. I try to keep God's commandments because I am saved, not to be saved. Let's say that you have a young man that's going to get married. Now, before you get married, you have to do some work. You have to put your best foot forward. You have to give that woman some flowers. You got to court her. You got to win her over. You got to give her some money, some stuff, you know. You got to simply make sure that she thinks, you know, well, yeah, I'm going to marry this guy. You got to work for it. Okay? Take time. So the day comes your wedding. And here you are, taking the oath. I take this woman, this man, to be my lawful wedding, husband and wife. And you're done. Now, you don't have to work anymore. You don't have to simply say, okay, now what do I do? I got to keep this woman, so what do I have to do? I got to do this, and do that. No, you do things because you are married. You do things because you love her. Give her flowers, you do things like this, but you don't do that to get married. You do it because you are married. The same thing with the law. We are saved, and because we are saved, then we simply do good works. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That's 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. And we're going to read here from verse number 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the prince of this world. They come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, say the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. With things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But a natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So if you walk in the Spirit, then you will live accordingly, and you will have the capacity to understand spiritual things. Now, I am bilingual. I can butcher English, and my Swedish now is even that being butchered because I've been gone for more than 50 years. But I understand both languages. But let's say now that those of you that are in the chapel, we're going to fly out to Japan. To my knowledge, none of you speak Japanese. Neither do I. So we arrive in Japan, and we're looking around. We can't communicate. You can't tell them I'm hungry. Where is a bathroom? Where is my hotel? You might speak in English. They answer you back in Japanese. And you're simply not there. That's how it is to be in the spirit or in the flesh. If you are spiritually, if you're saved, you understand spiritual things. If you're not saved, you don't understand it. That's why you go up to people like Madonna and other people that are not saved. You talk about spiritual things and they get mad at you. They spit at you. They say, you fanatic, religious nuts. Calm down. This is the 21st century, right now, actually, yeah, 21st century. And, you know, we don't believe that garbage anymore. They don't speak the language. They don't have the capacity. If you want to listen to an FM radio, you cannot have an AM radio and say, I'm going to get an FM station. You can beat that radio to pieces. You will not do it. It has to be built for FM or for AM. And that's the same thing it is. If you're born again, you got a spirit, you got the capacity, but you got to learn to move in it. Let's say that you have a nice big screen TV at home. And you are really proud of that. I mean, you got a huge screen. But it's black. You bring your friends in. And you look at that television. Is that a beauty? Marvelous. They say, yeah, it is. But when are you going to turn it on? I'm not going to turn it on. I'm just going to look at it. If you don't turn your spirit on, it's like you have a television. You don't turn it on and you watch that blank screen. That's smart, right? You might as well sit and watch the washing machine, you know, when the stuff tumble. Entertainment. So turn your spirit on. Let's turn out to Romans 3:8. Is the law bad? Paul was asking that. Romans 3:8. And not rather as we be slandered and reported, and some affirm that we say that do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. Now, I would say that 99% of people reading this do not understand that verse. What are they talking about? They're talking about the Kabbalah. Paul was accused of being Kabbalist. And in the Kabbalah it says that to serve God, you sin. The more you sin, the more you serve God. Break every commandment. And Paul said there are slanderers who are saying that that's what we teach. We are not teaching that. We are simply saying you should obey the law. Now turn to Romans 7:7. What should we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I have not known sin, but by the law, for I have not known lust except the law, and it said, you shall not covet. But in other words, the law is good. It simply identifies your sins. I remember when I was in college, engineering, and I had to learn the electrical laws. We were taught how to calculate the electrical circuits. And they had laws called Kirchhoff's laws. And they were laid out. You put your numbers in and you get the result. So if you want to build this, you want to build that, you find the laws. You see how they work. You do your calculation and you build your product. The law is good. It points out that we are sinful. It points out what we need to do, because that way we can change. In Galatians chapter 3, verse number 21, that's Galatians chapter 3. Galatians, the third chapter. If you pick it up in verse number 21. Is the law that against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, very righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture has concluded all on the sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Now, we have this law. The law is good. Let's take one commandment from God's word. You shall not steal. Is that law good for you and me? Yes. It's good for me, because I can hold property. I can drive my car down to a supermarket, park it, and I lock it, knowing that no one is going to say, give me the key, we're going to steal this car. Because I have the title. I got the pink slip. There are some people that strong arm you, that try to carjack. But most people, we all respect one another. We go down to the parking lot, we respect one another, and we don't touch other people's cars. We don't even hit them. Why? Because there's a law. You shall not steal. That law protects me, protects you. The law is good. So understand this. The law is given that you will have a good life. Let me pick one more law before we move on. In the Bible, God said to Moses to tell the people, when a woman has a menstruation period, do not have sexual intercourse. He didn't explain why. So, that's a law. Is that a good law? It's a good law. It protects the woman from being infected when her blood system is opened up. It protects the man from getting a disease. It's a good law. Most people, they simply blow right over that. And so I don't need to keep that. That's why we got venereal diseases. That's why people get infection. That way later on in life, women have hysterectomies. You know, they got all kind of problems. And they said, oh God, why do I get this? And God said, I told you what you need to do, and you just forgot it. You didn't do it. And now you pay the price. Don't blame me. Blame yourself. If I drive 90 miles an hour on a road that is slick with rain and I have an accident, can I blame God? No, it's my stupidity. The laws are good, and they are there for our protection. Let me pick one more law. God said, you know, in the food law, you're not to eat pork. You're not going to eat swine. And people say, I like my pork chops. I like my bacon. Why is that law good? Because number one, pork meat, high octane, you really can't burn it that well. Causes a lot of cancer. Got worms in it. Got eggs in it, worms and all kind of stuff. Causes cancer. Do you realize that Jewish people have a very low cancer rate? Very low. So the Muslims, they don't eat pork. Us Christians, we pig out all the time, don't we? And we saw that sheet, you know, in the book of Revelation, not in the book of Acts, said, you know, that came down, we can eat anything we want to. Yes, you can. You just die younger, and you get sicker faster. The law is good. Let's go now to struggle against sin. Let's pick it up here in verse number 8. What Paul says. But sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. In other words, the law brought forth the truth, and his old sinful flesh had to die. He realized, you know, this is bad. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Go and talk to people that got AIDS. It's a pretty nasty disease. Actually, there's a number of diseases. Your immune system is down. And it's particularly hit the homosexuals because of their lifestyle. And they're trying to find a cure for AIDS. Why do they want to find a cure? So that people can sin without getting the disease. Now, so sin slays you. It simply says, if you do not obey, it will do that. And then we move on to the chapter. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. So Paul says now, the law is good. It is holy. Let me just put this in here right now. Let me ask you this. Are the traffic laws that we have in California good or bad? Or whatever state you live in, whatever nation you live in, are your traffic laws bad or good? Some say, well, I don't like the speed regulation. I like to travel faster than I can. But why do we have traffic laws? In order to stop people being killed on the roads. In order for your car not to be smashed up. If we didn't have any lights and there were no stop signs, I used to have it like that because in Sweden when I was growing up, we had no traffic lights where I lived and we had no stop signs. And it was a general law. We were driving the left side of the road at that time. If the someone come from the left, they could be go first. But who could figure that out? There's a lot of tangled up cars. So, is the law good? Yes, it is. It protects us from being hurt. If there's nothing else you take home with today, I want you to know this. The God's laws are good. They protect you from death and destruction. And there is salvation. Let's move on now. Verse number 13. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. So we can see that sin becomes more worse and worse. And we can see through the law what sin really is. It's bad. Now, let's talk about ISIS for a moment. You've seen these horrible things. Now, is it good when a man takes a knife? It might even be not the too sharp knife. That's worse. The guy's bound, he's holding him in his hair, and he's carving around his neck, trying to sever the head. You know, that's painful. Now, that simply shows sin is exceedingly bad. Now, you talk to a Muslim, he says, yeehaw, death to the infidels, you know, we're serving Allah, you know. We're going to do it to all of them. Why does he believe that? Because he has a different set of laws. The Muslim laws are totally different from our laws. Muslim laws and the law of God are two sets. The Muslim laws are the laws of Satan. God's laws protect life, try to shield us from destruction, try to have us to get along better, to love one another. The Muslims, the Sunnis, and the Shiites have fought since 700. You go to a Sunni, and you ask about a Shiite, and they would say, infidel, kill him. You go to a Shiite, look at a Sunni, say, like, I'll kill that guy. He's no good. You remember Ireland, Northern Ireland? The killing between the Catholic and the Protestants for years as they finally stopped it. What I just described to you is sin, exceedingly sinful. So when we go down that slope, it gets worse. The person gets worse. And then we move on here. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold unto sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. For what I hate, that do I. What is Paul describing here? He's describing the flesh. But he's also describing demons. How many young people were tempted by drugs? And you simply succumbed to it. Later on, you got addicted to it. Up here in this valley where we are, from a particular Damaris with Yuba City, people that are white, ages about right now 65 down to 30. Most white people in that age group have been ravished by amphetamine and other drugs. And you see them on the streets. You see them not functioning. You see people smoking pot, destructive. And they didn't realize you take these drugs that will destroy your brain. If you don't have a brain, that's a computer. You cannot hold a job. If you don't hold a job, you don't have any money. People live on the streets. Most people living on the streets. Either alcohol, drugs, mental illness. No one really says, I want to live on the streets. You end up there because of sin. So there are demons in you. And Paul describes that. And there are many times that you feel you should do something. And there's a power in you that is stronger than you that makes you to do evil. That's a demonic force. The beautiful thing is, we can get rid of those. We can control them. We can throw them out. Now that it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. And sin always have demons with him. I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. The spirit of us, we delight in the law of God. For I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bring him into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. In other words, Satan cannot tempt your spirit, but he can tempt your soul. Your soul is the same as the flesh. That's what it refers to. So in my soul, I cannot serve God. But with my spirit, I can. And we are to subdue the soul and walk in the spirit. I want to share this quickly here before we close here today. There was a time many years ago that I had demonic forces. I had not been delivered. I was saved. I was preaching. I was serving as a pastor. And what happened inside of me, I didn't want to tell anyone, not even my wife, because I thought, I'm the only one this wretched. I could be at the church Sunday dinner, and I'm sitting down there, I'm the pastor, and suddenly I have a thought in my mind, take that big solid bowl and just dump it on the lady next to you. And I said, oh, God. Oh, I started to just put my hands behind my back. Had a thought, hey, pick that knife up and just stab them. I said, God, where does that come from? So I simply would sit on my hands to make sure that I would not do it. When I got delivered from demons, I don't have the thoughts anymore. I'm not tormented anymore. But you see, I didn't dare to tell anyone that I had these thoughts because I thought, you know, I'm the only one having them. And then we started doing deliverances, and I found out that a lot of people have the same problem. And the demons always say, hey, it's only you, no one else, there's no one like you. So don't say nothing. Speak out. Break the spell and say, this is the problem I have. I need help. Pray about it, and God will help you. Let me read again before we close here. I thank God for Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with a mind, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Jesus Christ can set you free. Jesus Christ wants to set you free. He's waiting to set you free. And it's fantastic to have the demons cast out. Demons will still bother you. They're on the outside. You got to fight them every day. But at least they're not inside of you. And you can control them from the inside and control and push them out. They are outside. Thoughts are terrible. Tormenting thoughts that people can have. They're not yours. And I tell people, is this what I do myself right now? Sometimes a thought comes in my mind. I don't repent of them anymore. I simply say, I rebuke that. I reject that. That's not my garbage. I didn't think that. I'm not going to take responsibility for that. I rebuke it. The moment I begin to say, oh, that's my garbage, I'm going to repent for that, then comes guilt, condemnation. The devil says, oh, how bad you are. See, you're a Christian, but how bad you are. So if thoughts are coming in your mind, know this. If they're ugly, they're not yours. Don't take responsibility. Kick them out. Reject them. And say, I break that curse in the name of Jesus. I break that thought. It's not mine. I'm not going to have that. I'm free. Now, this is Romans chapter 7. So, with other words, take this home with you. The law is good. And the law was given to you and me so we can have a fantastic life on this earth. Live long and healthy and have the joy of the Lord. You might be saying that I've listened to you, and I'm not saved. How do I get saved? Very simple. All you have to do is to acknowledge I am a sinner. You know you're a sinner. Simply say, God, my Heavenly Father, I repent of my sins. I'm sorry for them. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose on the third day. And I want you, Jesus, to be my Lord and Savior. And they ask you right now to come into my life and save me. And he will. That's salvation. Now, we're down here. Charles Tyrone is going to come, and you're going to hear him but not see him. And he will lead you in the plan of salvation. He will lead you in a prayer. About 5-6 minutes, and you can know it. Write us or call us if you pray today. We'd like to know that. To those of you that are saved, if you're in a backsliding condition, you might want to start thinking that law is good. I should line up with the law. Not to be saved, but to have a good life. And I pray you understand the difference between the law of death, the laws given to Noah, and the laws given to Moses, the Torah, or the 5 books of Moses. 3 sets. We are free with the law of death, but we keep God's other laws because we love him, not because we have to. Brothers and sisters, you come in close today.
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you, Lord, for a good lesson. And we thank you, Lord, that many times we all sin and come short of the glory of God. And we praise you and thank you, Lord, that let our mind stay upon you, Lord. And you will keep us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, for we trusted in thee. Let us as always seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. Let us walk in the Spirit that we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we want to thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let our delight be in the law of the law, and in your law shall we meditate day and night, that we may be like trees planted by the rivers of water, that will bring forth fruit in its season. Our leaf won't wither, and anything we will do shall prosper, in Psalms 1. And Lord, we thank you today, O Lord, for touching us. Thank you, Lord, for touching the heart of each and every person that watches us today. And let the Lord realize, O Lord, that we need a closer walk with you. We need to abide in you. You said, he that abides in me and I in him, the same shall bring forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. And Lord, we thank you today and praise you. And having these promises, dearly beloved, let us, having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And Lord, we thank you today for a good message. Thank you, Lord, that we take it to heart and walk that close walk with you, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus. And we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. And pray this prayer in Jesus' precious and mighty name. Amen and amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, You've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, You need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 12th part in the series, The Letter to the Romans, and was entitled, Struggle Against Sin. Paul spoke about the law of death that was introduced to Adam, and the laws given to Moses. But if you don't know which one he is referring to, the references will certainly confuse you. He discussed our relationship to the law of death in the Torah, and in describing our freedom from death, he uses the illustration of a married woman. As long as the husband is alive, the wife is bound to him. But when the husband dies, the woman is free to marry someone else. Jesus paid for the sins of mankind on the cross. and made it possible for humanity to be set free from the law of death. That doesn't mean that the law of Moses is set aside, because it also creates an awareness of sin, and it is the schoolmaster which brings us to Christ. Paul spoke about the battle that takes place in each person. Everyone has to deal with sin. It is a daily struggle that must be overcome by the born-again spirit, because the soul and the physical body only want to indulge their selfish desires. The law is good, but we don't keep it to be saved. We need to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the only way to be set free from this struggle. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1583. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.